The European Union is trying to hammer out a budget without its second biggest contributor. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. At a summit in Brussels today, EU leaders will toss around ideas for how the bloc's finances will cope long-term without the UK's contribution. Brexit left a gap of more than $10 billion in the EU's funding. The BBC's Bethany Bell explains that's causing big disagreement among the bloc's 27 nations about how to fund the next budget.
At the Café Diglas in central Vienna, well-heeled Austrians drink coffee at tables with marble tops. They live in one of the richer countries in the EU. Austria pays in more to the EU budget than it receives back, along with states like the Netherlands, Sweden and Denmark. These countries don't want to pay more into the EU's budget. Sebastian Kurz, Austria's chancellor, says contributions shouldn't go over 1% of gross national income.
The difference for Austria between 1% and 1.3% per year is 1.5 billion euros. So I'm fighting for every percentage point.
But many of the EU's poorer states, including countries in the Baltics, southern and eastern Europe, don't want to see their aid and development money cut. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban objects to the Commission's proposals.
The basic concept of the budget is not fair. Such modifications have been proposed in the budget, under which money is regrouped to the richer countries rather than to the poorer countries.
The Austrian political analyst Eva Novotny says the budget talks are harder than usual, not just because of the hole left by Brexit, but also because the EU has a range of new spending plans.
The EU has given itself quite a comprehensive agenda with many new tasks concerning security issues, the economy, climate change, so that needs more resources.
Wer soll das bezahlen? Who should pay for this? Go the words of an old German drinking song. The big question is what the EU's economic heavyweights, Germany and France, will decide to do. For now, they're keeping their cards close to their chests.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell reporting from Austria there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are little changed amid renewed coronavirus jitters. South Korea reported a sharp rise in the number of new cases in the country, calling it an unprecedented crisis. New research suggests the virus is more contagious than first thought. The Korea Composite Stock Price Index fell 0.6% in today's session. European shares are just slightly lower. To India now, where the prices for acetaminophen, the active ingredient in pain relievers like Tylenol, are surging 40% amid China's ongoing coronavirus factory closures. The BBC's Nikhil Inamdar has more from Mumbai.
The reason for that really is twofold. The first being that India depends on China for almost 80% of its pharma raw material requirement. And because the supply chains have been disrupted in China due to the extended factory closures there, stockists and traders are hoarding some of these commodities to benefit from the uncertainty. And that's why we are seeing those price increases.
And how much of these drugs go to the U.S.?
India is the world's largest exporter of generic drugs, supplying about 20% of the global and 40% of the U.S. generic demand.
Big drug companies have weighed in on this. What have they said?
Well, they're saying that so far there's not been a supply shortage here in India. Inventories are there for the next 2 months, but beyond April, there could be a problem if things are not resolved. Having said that, there are active consultations that are happening between the government and the industry to ensure that these disruptions are minimized, and they're doing that by ramping up domestic production or substituting imports from China with those from European raw material. At least that's the plan.
So no worries, at least yet, about a supply shortage. The BBC's Nikhil Inamdar from Mumbai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gold is one of the oldest stores of value, and it's used to make everything from coins to tech components. A large portion of the world's gold trading is done in London, which means it's big business for the UK. But it can also make trade statistics a lot more volatile. So the Office for National Statistics decided this month to exclude it from the country's official trade stats. Jonathan Atho, Deputy National Statistician at the ONS, explains why.
A lot of gold is almost used as a financial instrument. It's a hedge against risk or sometimes inflation. And things like stocks and shares, which also are financial instruments, they're not included in the trade statistics. So some people would say, well, why is gold? There's also some other oddities. Firstly, it's one of the few exports that doesn't actually increase GDP. So most other exports boost its economic growth. The way gold is accounted for doesn't fit like that.
And why doesn't it factor into the GDP figure then?
Selling gold is seen as basically negative investment. You're disinvesting from the country's wealth. So in that sense, it's seen as actually subtracting from that part of GDP, but then counts as a positive export. So overall, exports of gold or imports of gold have no net effect. The other quirk with gold is an export is scored in the trade statistics when there's a change of ownership, not necessarily when that good moves over a border. So for gold, that can create some slightly odd circumstances. There might be somebody in France buying gold from somebody in the UK, but that gold may have never been in the UK. It may be sitting in a vault, say, in Switzerland somewhere. And that would count towards our trade statistics.
Now, this was the first month that you have excluded gold from your headline trade statistics. And it actually did have a noticeable impact, didn't it?
You get a different picture depending on whether you look at the numbers including gold or you look at the numbers excluding gold. If we included gold for the final quarter of 2019, the UK had a trade surplus. But if you took out the effects of gold, we actually had a trade deficit. And the numbers here were quite large. It was actually £12 billion over a quarter, which is pretty large.
Jonathan Atho from the UK's Office for National Statistics. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, how's that for a the more you know moment? In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.